not common, not frequent, not often seen or known, unusual, or rare. That's the definition of the word uncommon. Man, I am so excited for this episode. Let's get it going.
I am an uncommon church builder. I am leading second.
Hey everyone, I'm Brandon Stewart. Welcome back to the Leading Second podcast. If you've been around for a few episodes now, you know what I'm about to say next, where we are on a mission to raise up uncommon church builders and be the kind of leaders that our pastors would absolutely kill to have on the team. I am so excited for what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be diving into one of the key words of the Leading Second DNA, and that is the word uncommon. And I can't wait to unpack this a little bit today. If you're new, welcome to our, man, I guess it's an experiment of trying to help church staff, young leaders, leaders everywhere in the kingdom who are not senior pastors, but serve on a team somewhere to help us all get it right as we are building the church together. So this is our weekly installment of the Leading Second podcast. I hope you'll subscribe, rate, comment, share, do all of the things you're supposed to do with the podcast. Help us get the word out. We just want to create as many avenues as possible to reach as many leaders as possible. And we'd love to have you in our tribe. Before we dive into our actual interview today, which I'm particularly excited about, I want to do something we do every single episode, which is take a question from a podcast listener who is a member of the Leading Second Forum on Facebook. And by the way, if you're not a part of our community on Facebook, search for the Leading Second Forum and join our community. We'd love to have you. So let's check out this question that I recently took from a podcast listener from the forum. All right, everyone, I'm jumping on the phone here with my friend Tony Arauza from San Antonio, Texas. Tony, say what's up.
Hey, guys, what's up?
I thought it would be fun for everyone today to actually hear from you. Tony is actually a part of the Leading Second team. She's one of our key team members, helping with various areas of social media and digital strategy and whatnot. But Tony's also part of a local church. So Tony, why don't you tell everybody about where you're at and how you're involved in your church?
Yeah, I'm actually a part of Grace Avenue Church here in San Antonio. And I currently serve doing all kinds of different media graphics. And I also lead our photography media team.
And before Tony was on the Leading Second team, she was an awesome, faithful part of her church, great church. So, man, we love having you in our world. And we were talking the other day. You have a question that's a big one. So why don't you fire away with that?
Yeah. So I was actually reading an article the other day because I'm a millennial, and this article referred to how millennials are oftentimes stereotyped as being entitled or narcissistic or unwilling to work hard. But this article actually published by Forbes had new studies and new statistics saying that quite the opposite, that millennials actually do work really hard. In fact, they're some of the highest statistics of being workaholics. And so my question was, is because I actually sometimes struggle with that personally. I work really hard and sometimes struggle with work-life balance because I love the work that I do. And I love doing work that really means something. And the work that I do in my full-time job and the work that I do for my local church and now with Leading Second, and I just love it. But I do. I struggle with work-life balance. So basically my question is how do you balance that, and how do you avoid burnout when you're running hard for your local church and running hard for your pastors and running hard for your job? Like, how do you avoid that burnout and still continue to work and run hard?
Well, this is no doubt one of the biggest questions I feel like we hear, and it's a question that I think is actually more of a wrestle. I don't know that we ever fully arrive at this one.
but it's definitely something we have to wrestle with. I'm just going to offer you one thought, because we only have a minute here, but this could take an hour. But my recent thought on this subject is that we need to ditch balance and embrace rhythm.
That's right.
So ditch balance and embrace rhythm. In other words, I think balance is a myth. I don't feel balanced most of the time. I'm not sure that anyone that accomplishes something significant would say they feel balanced. Right. But I do think you can get in rhythm. You know, I think you can have a rhythm to your parenting, a rhythm to your marriage, a rhythm to your work. And to me, rhythm is like the word pace. Mm-hmm. And the right pace, you can run an ultra marathon. You know, you can run two back-to-back marathons if you train and if you have the right pace. So maybe our temptation shouldn't be to try to find perfect balance, but maybe it should be to focus on rhythm. In other words, what you do daily. And focusing on the daily rhythm and seeing that would be in alignment with accomplishing your major goals. So, you know, final thought is I just always ask leaders, like in our coaching groups and stuff, I ask them, you know, what do you do daily? Because you'll never outrun who you are daily. You can set what other big goals for your life or career or whatever, but if it doesn't show up in what you do daily, I just highly doubt you'll get there. And so maybe our thought today is ditch balance, embrace rhythm.
That's so, so good. Really, really good.
All right. Well, glad to have you in our world, and thank you for all you do for Leading Second.
Thank you. I love doing it.
If you have a question that you want to hear us ask and answer on the podcast, join the forum on Facebook and DM us, or find the forum, ask a question right in the newsfeed. Man, we would love to bring you on to an episode in the future or feature your question. I know there's a lot of people that probably have the same question who'd love to hear it. Okay, so for our interview today, I'm excited to introduce you to a friend of mine. Her name is Anna Morgan, and she is the director of ministries at City Church in Chicago. Anna's a good friend. We go back now a really long time, and I know you're going to enjoy her perspective as we look at the idea of leading uncommon as a young leader. So let's check out this interview. And so today, I am particularly excited and honored to have joining with us for this episode of the Leading Second podcast, Anna Morgan, who is the executive director of ministries at City Church Chicago, a Hillsong family church in the Chicago area. Anna, say hello to everybody today.
Hi.
So glad you're joining us today. And Anna is also a student at Fuller Theological Seminary. She is pursuing her master's there in global leadership. And I brought someone on the episode today that is way smarter than me. How about that? And excited for this conversation today. Really, really glad you're joining us. Thanks for hopping on here to our new experiment that we're calling the Leading Second podcast. And you yourself are a leader in the second chair. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what you do at City Church?
Yeah, for sure. So I lead underneath our lead pastors, Kent and Allie Muncy, and they are awesome. And I get to lead an amazing team of leaders, all kinds of areas of ministry in the church. So everything from kids and small groups to discipleship, leadership development, all of our outreach and missions, opportunities, pretty much you name it, curriculums, content, all of those good things, training young preachers, campus pastors, all of that.
If it's ministry, in other words, you lead it.
Right, exactly.
That's awesome. So basically, you're just the boss. I love it. And you and I have known each other for quite a while. I mean, we go back to your days here in Seattle. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your story?
Yeah, for sure. I think you were in Bible college maybe when we met, if I remember.
Yeah.
But I lived in Seattle for about a year. Got married to my first husband when I was in college out there. And we got a call. Actually, we met Kent Muncy. He was in Bible college at the same time at Champion Center. My pastor is Pastor Kevin. Your pastor, Brandon's nephew. It's very confusing, but it's all It's a big family thing. And so he was out there doing Bible school. Him and Allie both are from Champion Center's Bible College. So I was there for a little bit and then got married, moved out to Indiana, and started as youth pastor first. And then my husband passed away in a car accident, and it was just me. And I kept going in worship ministries, was at Family Christian Center for about 13, 14 years in worship ministries there, leading all kinds of teams. And the role kind of grew over the years into more of an executive role, and then spent a couple years on the road with my husband now, with John Morgan, investing into churches, local churches all over kind of the Western world. And then I've been in this role. I helped plant City Church where I am now 10 years ago, was part of that launch team, and have held different kinds of leadership roles over the years through it. But I've been in this role for the past 2 years now, living in downtown Chicago and working with an amazing team of leaders. It really is living the dream. Doesn't get any better. Great, great group of people I'm with now, doing what I'm doing. And John continues, he's on the road still. And so he comes in usually midweek and then goes out on the weekends. And so it's good. We got one left at home, Brooke. She's 18. And the other two girls are there in Seattle, Chloe and Sharia, doing awesome things there at Champion Center. So, yeah.
Well, and John, of course, is one of my earliest mentors, and highly respect him, and also highly respect you and how you've navigated all the seasons of your life as a leader, in very much with eyes on you. And we'll tell that story in its entirety some other time, because it's worth telling. But I would want everybody to know I respect you, and I'm so glad that you are leading, you know, in the capacity that you're leading, into part of a really, really thriving church. And today in this conversation, what we wanted to do is we wanted to dive into the idea of being an uncommon leader, even as a young leader, or there's that M word, millennial leader. This has actually always been the story of Leading Second, is to inspire leaders to lead in an uncommon way, to lead in a way that's rare, to lead in a way that is unique, to hold values and character that is sadly uncommon today, and to really help you be the kind of leader that your pastor can rely on again and again and again. And so as Anna and I were getting ready for this conversation today, we just started talking about, you know, what does it mean to lead in an uncommon way, especially young, you know, especially in your 20s or your early 30s, and what does that mean? And Anna, I thought you said something so brilliant that we're going to get started with today, and that's that it seems to us that what is common among young leaders today is to have a what's next spirit. You know, always have an eye on the horizon for the next opportunity, the next big moment. That's so common anymore. And yet, I think there's actually a trait that's uncommon that we should be leaning into. What would you say to anyone listening today about that what's next spirit and how it can actually hamper our leadership?
I mean, I was no different either. I think in my 20s, especially when you don't have a whole lot behind you yet, is just trying to look ahead and like, what does God have for me? What is it that I'm supposed to be doing with my life? And I think a lot of times too, when you're a couple layers down in leadership, there's that, I think, a pretty human instinct to move up the ranks, right?
Right.
I think that's pretty common to all of us, no matter where you're at, no matter what generation you're part of. But I think if there's one thing that some of the young leaders that I've been interacting with do really well, I think, is just really being present exactly where they are right now.
So good.
And not just present, like I'm getting my job done or I'm fulfilling a leadership function, but present, fully present, I think, spiritually, where there's that sense of, I love where I'm at. You know, it's not, God may have more things for me down the road. And it's not that he doesn't put dreams in your heart and all that kind of good stuff, but where you're fully immersed, you're fully taking advantage of exactly what God has put in your hand right now, and seeing what he's doing in your church, in your neighborhood, in your community, and getting fully engaged, fully planted exactly where you are. And, you know, I see such flourishing that comes out of that. And in my own life too, as I've made those leadership journeys into understanding that, I think there's a lot of peace right there when you get into that space too.
Yeah. In other words, it's common to be transient. It's common to be looking for what's next, but it's uncommon to stay planted. It's uncommon to stay present. You know, I guess is what we're trying to say, that it's rare. And I think personally, I love that you said this, and I love that we started this, because I think for me, that's definitely been my story, you know, in one church my whole life. And I know that that's unusual. You know, I know that not everyone's going to be in one church for, I guess for me now, 36 years. But yet, I think we can do better than 12 months. I think we can do better than 18 months. And just the very transient nature of young people.
I mean, it's to me, it's kind of like, if you don't stay together with anyone long enough, like, number one, how are you going to get any synergy as a team? Like, it's just like after 12 months, you're just kind of like getting to know each other for starters. And beyond that too, I think how do you give God you can't give God a chance to do something significant in a year's time. But I think sometimes it means you got to take that broader perspective, and it can be easy to focus on what about me, you know, who, you know, and I know there's that feeling like who's looking out for my life, for my family, who's looking out for my future. I got to look out for that. I got to discern God's calling on my life. But there's something about our corporate calling too, I think, even that's important to recognize in that we're not just called as individuals, but we're called as teams. You know, we're called as churches and as a global church even, and recognizing that our callings are meant to fit in together and connect and depend on each other. And right. There's such strength when we discover that.
Why do you think young leaders end up being transient? Why do you think we live with this what's next thing? I mean, where's that coming from in the life of a young leader, do you think?
Man, I think there's a lot of pressure now to, you know, you just hop on your Instagram feed and you see all the latest and the greatest. Stephen Furtick, who's like, looks like he's 12 and doing like what the Pope's doing, basically. And there's this like feeling, oh my gosh, I'm not doing enough. You know, I'm not enough. I think a lot of ministers like struggle, young leaders struggle with that feeling and just have that, okay, what does success look like even? What does it look like to be a successful young minister? Maybe it's like the cool preacher wearing fear of God clothing, or I don't know, whatever, you know, whatever it is that looks like success. And we try to run after that. But I mean, honestly, I think probably the world doesn't need as many of the cool preachers. Cool preachers are great, but we need cool preachers that are also fully engaged right where they're at, you know, discipling people and building teams and seeing God move in their communities and engaged in what God's doing in their neighborhoods and their cities too. We need that.
And you've actually segued into a second trait that we had talked about that we wanted to dive into in this conversation today. And that's the idea that it's so common anymore to see ministry through the lens of just preaching. Now, let's make no mistake, when we have the opportunity to preach or communicate, we should be really good at it. And it should be a skill that we excel in. So we don't want to create a dichotomy on that we actually should be great communicators. But that aside, I think that single lens view of ministry makes us believe that's all there is to ministry, when every successful preacher would tell you that so much leadership happens off the platform, that so much bandwidth of ministry is in the unseen moments out of the limelight. So we feel like it's common to just want to preach, but it's uncommon to want to be a really great leader, even in those unseen places. I mean, just continuing the conversation, what would you say to the person that has the preaching only kind of lens going in their life right now?
I think it's gonna just keep things small. And it's, I don't know of anyone who can just get away with making a sermon and that's all that they do. To me, it's such a delicate balance. And if you're in a role where you have to preach, where that's part of your responsibilities, then I think you definitely have that God given. You need to make sure you're spending enough time. But I think if your leadership muscles are strong too, then if your team's strong around you, then it shouldn't necessarily be overwhelming to be able to take, a day or two out of your week to be preparing for that kind of thing. But if that's not on your plate right now, and you have a role where you're really leading in smaller environments, I think sometimes we can discount even the smaller opportunities to communicate that come your way, whether it's like you're giving an encouragement to your team or, inspiring someone one-on-one. Some of those kinds of opportunities can be even more effective for moving ministry forward, for moving the kingdom of God forward, as the large platforms that we can have. And I think sometimes if we think locally first, if we'll think what's local first, then God can add the layers of influence that might be in your heart down the track. If we'll focus in on what God's put in our hands here. But I think it's a heart issue first. But leadership definitely happens it happens behind closed doors a lot of times. It doesn't necessarily happen on the big platforms. That's where influence begins, right?
Absolutely. And one of the main promises or one of the main pillars of Leading Second is this line: we will equip uncommon skill. We will equip uncommon skill. In other words, we designed and built Leading Second around the idea that we don't just need to have a great attitude and great spirit and love this thing, which is all, of course, very important, but we also need to be really good at what we do. We need to be great leaders. And so preaching skill is just one skill, but there are other skills that come in so handy. So what are some skills, Anna, that you have seen young leaders in your world or even in your life? Like what's a practical skill if someone's listening to this and saying, I need to improve in this area in my leadership? What practically do we need to be adding to our leadership muscle and our leadership belt in addition to speaking, preaching, those kind of things?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that a big muscle that may be hard for some millennials or even some people who consider themselves introverts is just the skill of relationships. Building relationships with people is a big one. I think in our day, social media is like one of the most amazing tools that humanity has given us. It's changed everything in the last 10 years in an amazing way. I can have conversations with people I went to high school with 20 years ago. That's crazy. I can know what they had for dinner last night. It keeps us connected at that level, even though I haven't physically seen them for 20 years. But at the same level, it can be a little bit misleading, like that we're actually close friends when we're really not, what's public versus what's direct communication. So I think sometimes even though we may be good at sharing our lives publicly, we're not always great at the interpersonal. What does it really mean to build relationships with each other as young leaders, especially if you're busy, if you're bivocational, if you have a job and you're also doing ministry, then it can be even harder to find time to build strong foundations. You know, sometimes it's like we feel like we're relating while we're at a team meeting, you know, and that we're going to throw a quick, hey, how you doing? By the way, you haven't responded to that Planning Center request that I sent. How's it going? Like relationships reduced.
The red decline or the yellow I haven't answered button is still there on Planning Center. That's funny.
Right. It can get shrunk down pretty small. And so I think that's it's a skill to be able to kind of wade through the noise and really hone in on where people are at, how they're doing, and build relationships. I think with people we're leading and building relationships with the people who are leading us. That's a big one, to learn how to lead up well.
Yep.
And
I think I used to bump my head, you know, back in the day, like 10 years ago, the ultimate thing in leadership and ministry was, if my pastor will just announce it from the platform, you know, then everyone will show up. And now I think it's like, if I can just get a YouTube promo that I can share on social media, everyone will show up. And we have boiled leadership down to that level where you and I both know that there's so much that goes into building ministry other than your pastor making an announcement and getting the right social media meme out there that everybody wants to share. Sometimes it takes really, really intricate leadership work and calling people and, you know, leading people and influencing them that builds it a lot more than the public moments and the public things.
It's like you can't get enough mileage out of those one-on-one coffees and all those moments where it's not about the task people are performing. It's about who they are and their relationship with Jesus, and that's what the conversation is. Those moments where you're sharing life, and I think even learning how to be vulnerable as a leader is an important skill. How to be transparent and show people your journey in a way that helps them come along on theirs. That's a big skill too, for sure.
So, final moment here. As we do on these episodes, if you could say one final thing to any young leader listening, one last thought to leave us with, what would you want a young leader to understand on their journey to being uncommon as a leader?
I think that it's common to feel lonely. I think it's common to feel lonely as a young leader, as a young person, just in our culture, that we're extremely connected at shallow levels, but very fragmented. I think that's very common. I think it's very common to feel lonely in leadership, feeling like I'm not really friends with these people, but I kind of am friends with them, but I have to step out from being friends to being a leader. I think that's a very common feeling, but I don't think the antidote to being lonely is not I need to go out and find more friends. I think the antidote to that loneliness, what's uncommon, is people who decide to make long-term commitments and to be loyal and to be in it for the long haul. I think that's what's uncommon.
Well, Anna, I thank you. I respect you. Thankful for the way that you lead in your own context. And I know that you're blessing a lot of places outside of your house, and then you and John, of course, together. There's a lot of churches that are better and stronger because of your investment. So thank you so much for not only joining us tonight, but thank you for what you do for the church. I know it's meant a lot to a lot of people.
I have to say, Brian, I'm very excited for what you're doing. I think focusing the energy and the attention on building second-tier leaders is a real felt need in churches today. And leading second is going to fill some of that gap very nicely. I'm very excited to see what God does through Leading Second and you and Lindsay and your ministry.
If this podcast has resonated with you, help us get the word out. Help us let more people know, maybe some of your team at your church or friends you have in ministry. Help us let them know about the podcast. We'd love to have them as a part of our tribe. Subscribe, rate, comment, share. and head to Facebook, connect with our Leading Second Forum on Facebook. We would love to have you. I also want to let you know that registration is now open for our summer quarter of coaching groups through Leading Second. It would be our honor to spend the summer with you on video calls. Consider this like a small group or personal training for you as a leader. Over the course of the summer, head to leadingsecond.com or the Leading Second Instagram. We would love to have you apply and have you be part of a coaching group for this summer. Until next time, let me just say to you, have a great weekend in church, wherever this weekend finds you. And let me remind you that this weekend is someone's first day at your church. So let's do everything possible to roll out the red carpet, to welcome them to church. Let's just believe that God's gonna grow our churches this weekend. So let's run strong for the kingdom. Let's lead in an uncommon way together.